Lord, take my words and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. The Father of all compassion, the God of all comfort. Maybe we should balance that out. The Father of all compassion and the Mother of all comfort would be a better balance today. Or it's not for today, but of course God has no gender really. We attach this idea of father to him because of all that it meant in the ancient world and today as well. But equally we could call him mother as well. Well, that might, as I say, that's for another day and another discussion. But Paul says we can comfort those in any trouble. But it's interesting that he puts that idea of comfort alongside the idea of patient endurance. And it seems to me that whenever someone is in need of comfort or whenever someone is giving comfort, there is a related patient endurance that's needed, either for the one who is receiving or the one who is giving. We had our short gospel reading there about Mary at that presentation, a reading we've heard not many months ago. But it said, in a sense, Mary is in need of comfort. I was really struck by the fact that as Simeon prophesies over Jesus, for Mary, here's someone who knows more about her son than she does and more about what's going to happen to him in the future. I was sometimes sat in a parent-teacher discussion as a teacher telling a parent about their child, things they didn't know about their child, and it was quite difficult for them to hear. And so I can imagine Mary finding that one quite difficult. Especially when children sort of came into the school early on, it was always quite difficult. But for Mary, she's got this child, this promised child, she knows she's called by God. And she hears that this child is destined. It's not going to be chance or choice, but it's going to be his call to do the things that Simeon prophesies. So I wonder how we would describe that comfort. We've had the word comfort is the one that echoes through our reading to the Corinthians. I wonder how we would describe comfort. Of course, in one sense, I've got the prop for today. It's all about softening something up, isn't it? And it's all about being lovely and soft and fluffy. Although the advert for this makes out that it gives clothes a life of their own. I think some of my teenagers' clothes have got a life of their own already. They could find their way to the washing machine. But anyway, comfort is something that we think about. It softens the blow. It softens when things are getting hard. But I think there's a bigger picture for comfort that I want to paint this morning. And it starts really with the word that's translated as comfort in our letter to the Corinthians. It's the word paraklesis, which you don't have to worry about remembering, but it means something about encouraging and calling to one's aid. Sometimes it's translated as consolation rather than comfort. Or even strengthening. And it's much more than just soft cushions or soft clothes. The Corinthians we heard last week were struggling with temptation. And I spoke a bit about into that, how Paul was trying to help them get a sense of what it means to be tempted and how to combat that. This week it's about persecution and suffering that they're going through in the church. As Christians they're being persecuted. And the first thing Paul does is not point them to the one another, but he points them up. He points them to God and says that's where it all begins. And imagine he would also, if he was there with them, draw them into the scriptures and help them to find the God of comfort. Indeed, we see it in a number of places. One particular place is when God speaks through Isaiah. Let's see if I can find it. After Isaiah is a long book of 66 chapters, and the first 39, Isaiah is, as well as speaking about his call, is confronting Israel with their difficulties and the way that they're turning away from God. 39 chapters of confrontation, and at the beginning of chapter 40, we read this. God speaks through Isaiah and says this, "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. comfort, O comfort my people. And there's a sense in which God wants them to know, yes, the confrontation, but also the comfort from him. Another key place that we can learn a bit more about comfort and what it means in the context of God and of our faith is in Psalm 23, a well-known psalm, the most well-known psalm. And in verse 4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And that's just a fantastic verse. But what's interesting is it describes the rod and the staff. I don't know if you ever thought about the rod and the staff. The staff was something that the shepherd would have leant on. It was something that was firm, that you could depend on and trust in. And there's that sense of support from the shepherd. The rod, on the other hand, was what the shepherd would have used. Well, he would have used it to protect the sheep from any kind of attacks. But he would have used it to discipline the sheep as well. So if they weren't going where he wanted them to, they might get a little twitch of the rod. And so we get in this rod and the staff, we get the two sides of what I think is a bigger picture, as I say, of comfort. And I'm reminded of a bishop from long ago. Bishop Odo. Has anyone heard of him? He was the Bishop of Bayeux at the time of the Norman Conquest. And he was the guy who commissioned the Bayeux Tapestry. And in the Bayeux Tapestry, he made sure that they sewed in a picture of him. And he's there in his, I think it's chain mail, although because of the kind of, you know, the way it's been made, it looks like he's got his onesie nowadays. But I'm sure it's definitely chain mail. He's got his helmet on. And Bishop Odo, in his mother and son, says, I've got two props today. He's holding a club. This is the nearest thing I could find in my garden. He's holding a club, and underneath in Latin it says, Bishop Odo, the Latin word is confortat, which is the word that we get comfort from. And it kind of means strengthens the troops or strengthens the boys. Now, what writers are not sure about is whether he's using that stick to beat the enemy over the head with, or whether he's using it to encourage the troops who are a little bit scared to get into battle. Maybe there's a bit of both. The thought is that perhaps he didn't have a sword because he was a priest, and so he wasn't allowed to draw blood. We know that David was not allowed to build the temple for God because he had blood on his hands, so maybe that was it. So instead he had a club. He probably did some damage with it, but it's interesting to think about how he strengthened the troops. I guess they were strengthened because they saw him waving it around, but maybe they were strengthened as he encouraged them into battle with it as well. I'll put that down before I do this other mischief. So it's that rod and the staff idea, the two sides of comfort that we can reflect on. And, that sense of both softening and also of challenge, the rod and the staff, it sounds a lot like mothering to me. I don't know about you. And of course we think today about mothering of an adult, a parent to a child, but sometimes in later life a child to a parent. But also a mothering of the church to the community. And I was interested actually to read more about this article I mentioned earlier. And it was saying that I never quite realised it. That yes, I knew that this Sunday was the Sunday when lots of children in service would come back to their family home. But the dynamic there was that they were coming from a home where they were serving that probably had enough food on the table. But whereas their family, at this time of year, this is when the cupboards were really getting very low and they would have been really short of food. And so that's why they would come with a present for their family to encourage them in the last few months of the spring before the Easter came, and then there would be more food on the plate. And that's the idea of simnel. The simnel cake was a way of bringing something that was very rich that you could bring to offer to your family, so they have something to eat to keep them going. So there's a lot of significance going on within this day. But just to come in a little bit more about comfort, of course the problem with comfort in this day and age is there are so many ways of looking and drawing comfort from other things, aren't there? We talk about comfort eating or comfort in relationships. Oh, goodness me, there's even a drink called Southern Comfort, isn't there? I'm sure none of you have heard of that, but I didn't bring that in as a prop today. But, you know, it's sad that that's what some people turn to for comfort, and it can become a real problem. So there's a dynamic of people turning to the wrong thing for comfort. And of course, we're called, and Paul encourages us to look to the one shepherd who will bring us comfort with his rod and his staff. And just to come into land, really, it's interesting that that word for comfort, paraklesis, is derived from the word paraclete, which means advocate, and is the word used for the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will be the advocate for God among his people. So God ministers and comforts by his Spirit, that we will be strengthened. And strengthen, as Paul says, when we receive that comfort from God, we're strengthened to comfort others. If we try and comfort others in our own strength, then we know that gets difficult, becomes more of a duty than a joy. But when we're comforted by God, when we sense his Spirit ministering through us, then we have the strength and the encouragement to comfort others. And Isaiah links this back to mothering, right at the end of the book of Isaiah, we get a wonderful verse. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted. And we get that wonderful sense of God as mother in that verse. And God wanting to comfort us. But certainly in our own times, by his Spirit is the way that he does it. And excitingly, one more thing to say is that this Holy Spirit-led comfort is not just about good pastoral care, praying for people and allowing the Spirit to minister to them, but in act, it becomes like a growth strategy. At the end of Acts 9, somewhere near the end of Acts 9, Saul has just been turned, and the people that have come from the disciples are beginning to spread out into the surrounding towns. And it says, meanwhile, the church throughout Judea, Galilee and Samaria had peace and was built up, living in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It increased in numbers. In the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers. This is a growth strategy. When we pray for the Spirit to come and bring comfort, then people will be drawn to God. What good news that is. So, hopefully we can remember the breadth of comfort that God wants to bring us. Yes, the staff and the support, but also the rod to chivvy us on sometimes and to challenge us in our lives. I'm going to end with a prayer that comes from Paul's letter to Thessalonians, again echoing that idea of God, the author of comfort. Let's pray. Paul says this: now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God our Father, who loved us through grace, gave us eternal comfort and good hope. Comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good work and word. Father, we thank you for the many aspects that we can learn about you each time we open your word. And today, we particularly recall your desire to comfort us by your Spirit. May we each be filled with your Spirit today to sense something of your comfort in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives. And then may we be those who share that comfort with others. Lord, give us patience and endurance in that task, but help us to joyfully be able to administer your comfort and to connect people with your Spirit, that they too may be comforted and know you. In Jesus' name, amen.